listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We are starting here on a Tuesday in the NBA where trade season is underway. The big name out there, Anthony Davis, rumored interest by the Los Angeles Lakers. The latest offer, according to several reports, included Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, also Kyle Kuzma, and two first-round draft picks, amongst others. The Lakers have cooled on the offer, so it's a waiting game now on the status of Anthony Davis between the Pelicans and the Lakers before Thursday's deadline. So, RJ, what does Vegas make of the Anthony Davis potential trade to L.A.?
Yeah, I think there's a couple angles here. One of them, how does this team play with this potential trade over their head? How do they actually play these games? They got a game tonight. By the end of the hour, in our pick block, we will give a pick and analysis on the Lakers game. I want to talk about more than that right now. So, Fez, you and I down on Radio Row, we disagreed big time on the whole Anthony Davis thing. My thought was, if the Lakers get Davis and give up three players, but keep a couple of players that matter. You know, we can all debate who matters, but let's just put maybe six of them other than LeBron in a bundle. Say three go, three stay. My thought was, wowza, you got the best player in the NBA, LeBron, and Anthony Davis, you've got ranked where?
Number four.
1-4, no other team, their top two players would be that good, correct?
Yep.
All right, so then I'm thinking, okay, what about depth? Because it matters. Now, sometimes we want to say it matters, but boy, Golden State didn't have a lot of depth last year. But okay, let's say it matters. I guess if you're that good with your starters, maybe it doesn't matter as much. So I felt like if they got to keep three of the six players that move the needle in any way, you know, above replacement, let's say, that all of a sudden now this is a pretty good team, you know, and I would say, and our debate was, would the Sixers be better? Would the, I think Raptors, you felt like would be clearly better. I was like, really? Houston, you thought?
The Bucks, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee tied. And we debated that. You were crazy. A lot of the country was like, a lot of it was like, man, I love Fezzik, but how, you know, he's kind of wacky. Should, you know, what should we do? Is he okay? And, but I let you do your thing, right? You're like Rain Man. Sometimes it's crazy, but most of the times we make money. But now I'm thinking, wait a minute. If the trade reports are true, what literally the Pelicans are saying no to, if those reports are true, who's left on the Lakers if that trade happens?
A bunch of old veterans like McGee. The young nucleus is all going to have to be traded. There's going to be no young nucleus left, not even remnants of it.
And that's my question. As much as I disagreed with you that the Lakers wouldn't be an elite team with the big two and three or four potentially other decent players, if they have a big two and no other decent players, have we ever even seen that before? I mean, would this be the worst 3-7 team in NBA history? That's the question. Open question. Jonas, Brad, Fezzik, if the Lakers trade went down, and again, this could be a trade that got even worse for the Lakers because the Pelicans are saying no. But let's assume the Pelicans said, okay, we'll take the whole team. Is this the worst 3-7 we've ever seen in the NBA?
I think it's right up there. Look who's going to wind up playing. Maybe you retain Rondo. All right, that's good. But then you got Stevenson and Beasley's guys.
I'm sorry, Jonas. What are you seeing on the? I saw eight players.
Yeah, that was one of the reports that came out that Rondo is part of that package as well,
yeah.
Too. So the young
and Stevenson.
Yeah, the young core, they're all gone. And then these veterans you signed to 1-year contracts in the offseason, they're reportedly also on the list of players to go, plus the two first round draft picks. It's a big amount of picks.
So Jonas, do me a favor, we'll wrap up here. Pull up if you can, pull up who would be left on the Lakers based on that 8-player report and jump in when you got it.
Yeah, I got it.
All right. You got it now?
No, I'll pull it up right now.
Oh, cool. He's on it. Yep. So I think the case could be made when we hear this list. It will be the worst 3-7 we've ever seen. Okay. Now, I get it. if you're not playing for this year as much, if it's like, yeah, but next year, a lot of veterans look, you know, like West did when he went to the Spurs. A lot, he didn't get the title, but a lot of veterans are going to try to get their title. Maybe. But boy, to some degree, you got to wonder. The NBA was concerned about where all the good players aren't in the same five or six cities, right? They want, hey, if the Cavs get lucky and they draft a LeBron, they want him to have a good chance to keep LeBron. So what did they do? They made the contract as such. If you sign with your team, you get an extra year. You get extra, you know, there's more money. Now, some players with endorsements and such, that last bit of the contract doesn't mean as much. But I think there's another effect of this idea that having them signed, which means trading for them potentially before signing them, a la Paul George, I get the idea, give up something to increase the chance you might win them over, right? Fez, you probably had times you've had like charity dates where there was a girl you had a crush on. You figure, I'll pay for the charity date and maybe on the charity date, she's going to like figure out that I'm really nice. Now, how's that gone for you?
Well, I felt good for the one night that I went out and bought her a nice dinner.
Women weaken legs.
But we're joking with Fez, but that's the concept. I get him here, show him what we can do. And it worked with Paul George. I don't have any problem with that. Also, the idea that, you can now sign them. You're in the superior contract position as the team that has the rights to a player. Okay, but if it gets to the point where that becomes so important that teams will give up everyone but one player for another player, and then the next year there's just a bunch of free agents in there, doesn't it almost make the draft? I mean, think of all the Lakers fans on TV. Forget the guys and gals going to the game, because if you're going to the game more than occasionally, you got money and all that, and okay, it's hard to feel too bad for you. But imagine the hardcore Laker fan watching the games on TV, getting to know these players. Oh, Lonzo, you know, I like the way he's doing this. And Ingram, oh, look, his jumper looks better this year. Those kind of, you're just going to completely wipe the team out. And then you're, talk about rooting for laundry, right? You're rooting for that Lakers jersey. And I get it, but boy, to some degree, having the players that you like as a Steelers fan, when I was a big, big fan, let's say, you know, even as recently as Hines Ward and all those guys, 2005 through 10, let's say, if they had traded everyone on the team and got some super team and won a Super Bowl, yeah, it'd be nice to have it on the list, you know, seven. But especially now, it would be nice. But the idea that I would care as much for these strangers, it just doesn't seem good for the league. Jonas, who would be left on the Lakers?
Are you ready for this? Talk about an all-star game. Here we go. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Tyson Chandler, Josh Hart. Obviously,
Is that Tyson Chandler's kid?
That's the actual Tyson Chandler.
The senior.
Yes,
okay.
Tyson Chandler senior. LeBron James, obviously, JaVale McGee. And then you've got Mo Wagner, Jonathan Williams, and Ivica Zubac.
Fez, I got to think that is about as bad as we've ever seen, 3 through 7.
Pretty darn bad. Zubac's shown some nice skills this year, but this is a bad group here, RJ.
You're going to break down Zubac for us?
I will not.
I'm RJ Bo, straight out of Vegas. So to me, and as we said, in about 40 minutes, we'll break down the Lakers game tonight, because I think the psychological ramifications of Luke Walton saying, hey, guys, go do what I say. Oh, by the way, if the other team is willing to take you guys, you won't be here tomorrow. That's a complex handicap. I'm going to be interested to see that. I don't know. I mean, Jonas, you're more of a fan, and that's your, you know, the voice of the fan, and you do an amazing job of it. I mean, do you agree with me, the idea that the Lakers having the whole team other than LeBron, who wasn't even there last year, you know, like literally there'd be no one on this team that matters that was there a year ago. Like the whole team almost that matters would be turned over.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that affect you as a fan?
Yeah, I think it's a disaster. I think if you're a Laker fan and you're honest, this is not what you envisioned. I mean, they went from Brandon Ingram's not tradable, we're not getting rid of him, we're not getting rid of Kyle Kuzma under no circumstance, and now we're hearing that not only are they all included, but multiple other players and two first-round picks. I mean, how do you expect those guys who have battled while LeBron James, the quote-unquote leader of the team, has missed close to 20 games of the season so far, then they're floating their names out on the trade block as if it's their fault they're not competing and their fault that they're not contending for a playoff spot right now. And then you expect them, if the trade falls apart, to come back and want to play hard for you? I think it's a disaster.
And you know, the Rondo guys that signed this year, trading them doesn't mean much to me. It's the guys they drafted and rooted for. The true fans this whole time shouldn't mean nothing. And I get it. There's a plan. They figure they can get enough guys to win next year. It just doesn't feel right to me. And oh, by the way, last thought. There's no guarantee Anthony Davis would sign. I get right now he wants to go to the Lakers. I get it. But he made a list of how many teams? Four or five?
He added four or five other teams.
Yeah, saying he was open to that. And let's be candid. What player in the NBA turns off players more than LeBron? Now, I'm not saying it's justified. I'm not saying whose fault it is. I'm not in the locker room. But it seems like for a guy that can help you win better than anyone, he's got a lot of players that are ambivalent, that aren't sure they want to play with him. It seems like you're really rolling the dice. Imagine if Anthony Davis left. Ooh. You got him now, and he left after a year and a half. Wowza.
And you're really you're basically turning the organization over to a guy who, let's be honest, if you include playoff years, is in his 18th season, and his body has already shown signs of fatigue and injury this year. I mean, who are you turning it over to?
When they signed LeBron, they turned it over to LeBron. That ship has sailed. It seems like the next move is the question.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, guys, here on Straight Out of Vegas, what we've been trying to learn is what the hell's going on with Todd Gurley. We still can't get any answers. Todd Gurley did not talk to reporters as he cleaned out his locker on Tuesday, but Colin Cowherd, and now listen, RJ, you've gone after Colin Cowherd several times this football season. When
not
you felt
gone
he's
after,
been wrong.
Pointed out logical inconsistencies.
Fair enough. So if we disagree with you, you will be called out here on the air, but Colin Cowherd actually made a very good point earlier today on Fox Sports Radio on The Herd regarding the status of Todd Gurley and how it was handled by Sean McVay.
Todd Gurley's a top 10 NFL player. When he had 18-plus touches, the Rams were 9-0. Super Bowl, barely part of the game plan. So either McVay should get crushed for not giving him the ball, or the Rams and McVay should get torched for lying about it.
Boy, that is just exactly right. Think about it. Tell me a third scenario. Scenario one, there's an injury. They're lying. And now it gets into the whole NFL policy, the whole there's billions literally being bet on the Super Bowl. Can you lie about that without having a fiduciary responsibility when there's public betting marketplaces? It's going to be interesting to see it tried in court, because I'm sure it will be in the next couple of years. Or if it's, hey, he's 100%, and it's one thing if his contract was up, you know, as much as Butler, the D-back for the Patriots, we could say, oh, it was horrible. Belichick didn't play him, and look how bad the Patriots' defense was against the Eagles. But that was his last game with the Patriots regardless. So there certainly was no sense of, even if he were, you could almost make the case sometimes, oh, maybe he's a slight net negative to play him, but at least it keeps his confidence for next year. What rationale could it be not to play your franchise player? He's the highest paid offensive player, Gurley, and it's not even close for the Rams. He just signed a contract so good that Le'Veon Bell wouldn't sign his tag offer with the Steelers because he thought, wow, that's what a team does when they really appreciate somebody. And now this guy doesn't play? I think this is kind of a false choice. I think he's 100% limited not 100% limited, certainly somewhat limited, Gurley. And that's, I don't know if it's mental, emotional, physical. Fez, you talk, or Brad, you talked about it when it came to some tape guys, all 22 guys, I call them, what they saw when it came to Gurley's running.
Yeah, when it came to the sideline cutting in the hole, Gurley hasn't looked the same the last four or five games compared to what he did earlier on in the season.
And so now the question is, did he get old all of a sudden?
No.
It doesn't happen in the middle of a year like that. He's injured. That seems almost impossible to deny. But somehow, it's like some conspiracy. It's like some cover-up. What injury? What injury? Absurd. But Colin's right. If I'm wrong and the injury's not the case, then what the heck is going on with with McVay's decision, the coach? And why isn't it being discussed? To me, the little dirty secret with ESPN, and ESPN's not the only media outlet, so let's not just rely on them. But here's the thing. The NFL is in bed with the ESPN as much as you can be in bed with anyone. And they're in bed with Fox. They're in bed with, and they're going to say, oh, you want to report, you know, about this or concussions that aggressively? When the contract comes up, I'm not sure I'm going to look at you so favorably. The famous story of playmakers on ESPN. If you don't remember, you remember that, Brad, right?
Yeah, the show got canceled.
Oh, but got canceled with some pretty good ratings for ESPN. Yes. Right?
Yep.
Okay, we don't like that you're showing the guys shoot up the clear in their bare butts. And it seems to me for a long time, forever in media, there was what is called a Chinese wall, which is you've got sales on one side and you've got reporting and news gathering on the other. Imagine if Philip Morris were a big advertiser on 60 Minutes, right? There's the famous movie The Insider, right? Russell Crowe, Al Pacino. 60 Minutes would be, wow, we've got proof of this kind of cover-up or that kind of cover-up with cigarettes. But you know something? Those guys spend a lot of money here. Maybe we shouldn't do anything with that. That's something that once that begins, to me, how do you trust any of it? And I guess maybe I'm asking for too much in sports to think that we should actually have reporting on the news. But it sure seems curious to me that this seems like an obvious question. And Jonas, you've been on other radio rows. You've been around media for a long time. Were we the show, the national show, that was screaming about this more than any other?
I just think we didn't trust what we were being told by the Rams as much
as
everybody
else did.
Well,
yeah, because we're not 9 years old.
Yes. Yeah, but everybody... I'm out here in Southern California. I live in L.A. The Rams practice in my hometown of Thousand Oaks. It's where their facility is. Nobody has pressed them on it. Nobody has gone after them. Nobody has confronted them. What's really going on here? It's just kind of been one of these, ho-hum, you know, whatever. And Colin made a great point. If this were Belichick, he'd get crushed. He got crushed last year for Malcolm Butler. And as it turns out, he made the right decision because Malcolm Butler stunk this year for the Titans early on. So nobody wants to press him on it. That's the biggest issue.
Yeah, I would say this. I don't know if he made the right decision because it wasn't, is Malcolm Butler a franchise player? The question is, was Malcolm Butler better than the worst D-back that was playing against the Eagles? And my gut feeling is Malcolm Butler was better than the worst D-back. It was he missed practice by all accounts, or he was late for practice, and Belichick wanted to show everyone, yeah, maybe we'll drop 5% with the person we replace, but who's ever going to miss practice or think they're above my rules again? And maybe you can make the case they wouldn't have won this Super Bowl if he hadn't benched Butler last year.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.